All right, so this evening we're kicking off a new sermon series, and it's exploring the Exodus story. So there's about a 300 to 400 year gap between the last chapter in Genesis, where Jacob, Joseph, and Israel, where they take their place in Egypt, and then to chapter 1 in Exodus, where this new incoming king has no idea who Joseph even was. So essentially, Israel had been living in Egypt now for somewhere between 300 to 400 years. And Israel, they were doing all right. They were doing pretty well in Egypt. They were growing in number. They were prospering to the point where this king was beginning to see them as a threat. So before Israel could grow too big, the king decides to try and contain them by enslaving them and crushing their spirit. So, of course, the Exodus story is a story of how God frees them from this slavery. But I wonder if we read this story just as simple as that, that God set his people free from being slaves, if that's all it is, could this be just way too narrow of a view of what freedom means and looks like? Does it just mean to be freed from something? As John 8:36 says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So what does it mean to be set free? Maybe freedom means that we are actually freed to do something rather than just to be freed from something. Several years ago, it's probably about 12, 13 years ago now, I heard this story, and it's always just kind of stuck with me. It's a really simple story. It's about a monkey and a fish. As one day there's this monkey, and he's out playing, and he's just swinging from tree to tree, and eating all sorts of just delicious fruits from all these trees, and he's just having a great time and enjoying life. And as he's swinging through the jungle, he stumbles across a small pond, and he notices a fish in the pond. And the monkey thinks to himself, oh, that poor fish. Just confined to that small pond. He can't run around and just explore the vastness of the jungle and everything that it has to offer. So the monkey, he's feeling sorry for the fish, and he decides he's going to do something about it. He's going to go help him. So he gets closer to the water, and the fish swims near, and the monkey scoops him out, puts him in his arm, says, come on, come with me. I'm going to set you free. I'll take you to the tops of the trees and just to the ends of the jungle, and you're going to eat fruit that you've just never dreamed of. So at this point, the monkey's just feeling pretty good about himself. You know, just helping this poor, stuck fish. Meanwhile, the only thing that's on the fish's mind is, I can't breathe. But for so many of us, when we're thinking of freedom, we think of this limitless space and choice. We think of being able to do whatever we think or feel. We just do it because freedom means not being confined to anyone or anything. We're just free to be whatever we want to be. That's freedom, where we can determine our own destiny. But what the fish in this story shows us is that maybe being confined to some things isn't such a bad thing after all. And actually, maybe there's something about learning how to live within the thing that confines us that allows us to experience and know true freedom. Maybe true freedom comes from knowing what confines us. God knew Israel was going to be enslaved long before Joseph ever stepped foot in Egypt. And God's work of setting his people free began long before he ever parted the Red Sea. In Genesis 15, starting in verse 13, it says, then the Lord said to Abram, so this is very early days in Abraham's journey, he was still called Abram. And God said, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in the land that is not theirs, and will be servants there. And they will be afflicted for 400 years. Remember what I mentioned earlier about Israel being in Egypt for about 300 to 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. But God setting his people free goes back much further than even Abram. The story begins when God placed man within the confines of the Garden of Eden. It was from the Garden of Eden where man first tested God and sought to live beyond their limitations. Like so many of our understandings of what freedom means, Adam and Eve were wanting to be the ones to determine their own destinies. They didn't want to live in a world where they'd have to be confined by anything, not even their creator. So soon as man chooses to live beyond his creator's intentions, like the fish, we lose our breath. And we quickly realize that we weren't designed to live apart from our creator. So God gives Adam and Eve what they desired. And he sends them out from the Garden of Eden. And from that day on, God has been working his way back into the hearts of humanity. Because our hearts rightfully belong to our Creator. We will never know true life or true freedom until we give our hearts back to who it belongs. God setting his people free from Egypt didn't set his people into true freedom. But rather, God used their captivity to reveal something new about himself to his people in hopes that they would, in return, give their hearts back to him. In chapter 6, God spoke to Moses and he said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them." So God is about to reveal to Moses and Israel that he is the Lord. And by stark contrast, God is showing them that not only does he have power and authority over Pharaoh in Egypt, but he's also about to show them that he doesn't use his power to lord over them like Pharaoh does. Where Pharaoh used his power to control Israel and get them to do whatever he wanted for his benefit, God uses his power to do things for his people. Just listen to how much God is about to do for his people in just these few verses. It's in chapter 6. God said, "I will bring you out. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. I will take you to be my people. I will be your God. I will bring you into the land. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." The Lord has made a way for us to come back home to him, to live within the confines of him, to bring us back to where we belong so that we may experience life and true freedom. He has made the way for us. He is our provider and he is our Lord. When God parted the Red Sea and Israel were no longer Pharaoh's slaves, that wasn't the act that set them free, truly free. The thing that sets his people truly free is the fact that God has moved heaven and earth to bring his people back to where they belong, and that's with him. And what do I mean that he moved heaven and earth? Well, I mean, he literally moved heaven and earth. Philippians 2 says, "Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Through Jesus, the kingdom of God has collided with the kingdoms of this world. Through Jesus, a way has been made so that we can return back to where we belong. A way has been made so that we may know and experience true life and true freedom. He has made the way. All we have to do is give to what rightfully belongs to Him in the first place. And that's our heart. And declaring to Jesus that He is Lord. And we are confined to Him. Amen.